it's funny how just little changes kind of get you out of things and routine. But I guess it's a good thing to not be in a routine when it comes to the things of God. We're going to begin in John chapter 8, verse 31. But I'm going to pray first. Father, we're so thankful for your many blessings. Lord, we welcome your presence here this morning. I pray that each and every one of us would be so attentive to what you have to say to us this morning. Father, that we would know you more intimately after we leave this service this morning, that you would speak to every heart here, that we wouldn't be distracted, that our minds would not be drifting, but we would be focused on hearing from you, that we would be hungry to hear from you this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What I want to talk to you about this morning is we just celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day. And so I titled today's message, Independence, or it could be Freedom. And it's a freedom that we can experience through Jesus Christ. John 8, verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I think it's interesting here that it says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Okay? It's not just believing, it's holding to his teachings. Alright? The Bible talks about even the demons believe and they shudder at God's presence, at Jesus' presence. And so it's holding to God's teachings, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, some of y'all who were here last week are thinking, wait a minute, is this a repeat? Because last week I talked about everything that we need, that God has thoroughly equipped us for everything we need. And we talked about 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, we talked about that 2 weeks ago on Sunday night. We talked about that last Sunday morning. But that knowledge of him who called us, that he's given us everything we need. And then you go to this morning that it says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, it's getting to know this truth in us and that freedom that comes from knowing God, from knowing his word. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? That's many of us today. What are you talking about, Pete? Freedom? I'm not a slave. I've never been a slave. What are you talking about? Jesus replied in verse 34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Y'all, the word is really plain here that if you know the truth, the truth will set you free. A son belongs to his father forever. And if you are a son of Jesus Christ, then if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. And as I was thinking this week, as I've been to 4th of July celebrations and thinking about our country celebrating our independence and our freedoms and all that we enjoy. And as I look around and I look at people and I examine their lives and I examine what they're doing and how they're acting and reacting to things. And I think, how many of us are really free? You know, how many of us are really free? And I even thought about this as myself, and I examine myself, and I wonder how many of us are truly free from the sin and the bondage of this world and of this flesh and what all the world is trying to offer us. And so many, as I look around, there's really no freedom in our lives. We live here in this country, but we don't realize how much bondage we're in. John 12:42-43 says, "Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogues. For they love praises from men more than praises from God." And as I look around and I examine the lives of the people around me, and I examine my own life even, and I wonder, how many things do I do are motivated by praise from men, by praise from others, because I want to get a pat on the back, because I want to be liked, because I want to be accepted. I mean, really think about what motivates you this morning. What is really motivating your life? Is it to please God? Or is it to please men? You know, we do things, and I think sometimes we do things and we don't even realize how messed up we are, and how it's all about just trying to get praise. Just trying to look good. Just trying to play the part. Just trying to make sure we're liked. Just trying to, you know, I told y'all a while back that Madeline messes with me sometimes because I want the house so clean and so spotless if anybody's coming over. And she teases, "Oh yeah, Dad, we wouldn't want anybody to know that we live here." And what she means by that is you don't want anybody to see that we make a mess once in a while, that's life, you know. But that's the way I am. Why? It's pride. It's because I want things to appear to be perfect. And I fight it because I know it's wrong. Do y'all ever have laundry in your living room that you got to fold? You know, we have that sometimes. Sometimes the TV needs to be dusted. Sometimes, you know, the house is a mess. Sometimes there's even dirty dishes in the sink. But if you guys are coming and I know it, you're not going to see any of that. Why? It's what motivates that? Partly, I do like a clean house. But probably more so because it's like I want everything to be perfect. So that's not really God motivating that. That's my pride. Ecclesiastes 4:4. And Peter, I'm not sure where you were reading this morning, but it goes along with what you were reading, and I know you were in a different version probably, but Ecclesiastes 4:4 says, "And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." What's he saying there? That all a man's labor and all that he's trying to achieve springs from a man's envy of what his neighbor has. It's a chasing after the wind, and I wonder how many of us are motivated by what others are doing, by what others have, instead of by God. We say we're free, but we're really so tangled up in what everybody else is doing and what everybody else has. You look at clothes, you look at styles, you look at what people wear. You know, bell bottoms are cool, then they're not cool, then tight pants, then loose pants, then saggy pants, then high-waisted pants, and, you know, who determines it? But we're all just trying to fit in. We're all just trying to be accepted. You know, houses. You know, this color is good. Then this color, the tiles and everything else. We went and looked at Mitzi's son's building a new house, and we went and looked at their house this week, and it's a beautiful home. But it's funny because you can see the influence of this popular TV show, and everybody's new house is getting it. It's a white subway tile and this fancy tile, and it is beautiful. But then it makes me look at my house is out of style. And my house really ain't even that old. But you know what? 4, 5, 6, 7 years, Chris's house is going to be out of style. Why? Who determines that? Why do we change? Why are we trying to keep up? Is it what God's telling us, or is it because we're a slave, because we're chasing after the wind, because we see the achievements of our neighbors and what our neighbors have, and we want it? Sorry, John 8:1 is where we're going to go to now. I was really struggling. I was out of routine this week. I was on vacation this week, and I stayed busy pretty much every day, but Friday and Saturday I kind of took it easy. But because I was out of my routine, I wasn't praying. I wasn't hearing sermons and stuff like I normally do when I'm at work and driving and everything. And I was teasing. I think it was Friday morning. I asked Crystal. I said, "What should I preach about?" And she looked at me and she said, "You don't have any idea, huh?" None. I had no idea what I was going to preach about. And this story kept coming to my mind, and I feel like God's going to tie it in with the freedom and independence. And John 8:1, it says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. The Pharisees and what they were doing was not out of a pure heart. It was not out of really trying to see justice served here. They were trying to entrap Jesus into something. And I always thought it was interesting that it says she was caught in the act of adultery, but where was the man? Right? It was just her. They didn't bring the man too. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Now read this whole story to get to that end. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." See, some of us, we're enslaved to our past, and we're enslaved to sin, and we're enslaved to the mistakes that we've made. And church, this morning, I want you to know that there is a true freedom from your past. There's a true freedom from that sin. That we don't have to live under that condemnation. We watched a story of this 12-year-old boy that falsely accused these men of murder. And he's in his 60s now, or 50s, and he's just sitting there weeping. And the cops had coerced him, and it was just a big mess, you know. But he's come out all these years later, but he's struggled with drug addiction and all these problems. And the men have finally been released from prison, and they've even told the man that they've forgiven him. He was 12. It was the cops. It was corruption. And he just wept, and he said, "I just can't forgive myself. No matter what, I just can't forgive myself." In church, I believe that that's many people today. They're walking around with this burden of guilt and grief, and they just can't forgive themselves. And it can be under the blood this morning, church. If you confess your sins, if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you repent and you turn from your sins, then it's under the blood. The Bible says therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this morning, you want to experience true freedom? You want to experience true independence? This is the morning that you can confess your sins. Cry out to Jesus, "Father, forgive me. Forgive me." And then there's no condemnation. And Jesus declared, "And now go and leave your life of sin." See, that's key though, church. That's key. It's not confess your sins and then go right back to doing it. I've told y'all before, when I was a teenager, I had just enough of Jesus to ask for forgiveness every night, but with every intention of going back and doing all the wrong things that I'd done. I really didn't want freedom. I just didn't want consequences. I really didn't want to stop doing what I was doing. I just didn't want to go to hell. I had just enough knowledge. And then one day it clicked when I was 22, and I knew I was headed straight for hell. And I prayed, and then there was something different about me. Then my desire was no longer to sin, but my desire was to please my Father in heaven. So this morning, if you're feeling that, you can leave that condemnation behind. You can leave that sin behind and go and live a new life. There's freedom for each and every one of us. We no longer have to live in the condemnation. We can be set free, leave our lives of sin, and experience this 4th of July week, a true freedom that some of us may have never known before. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." See, when you look at what the Pharisees were doing here, they were trying to bring in this woman caught in adultery, and they had evil motives. And y'all, I believe that in our churches today that there's people that come in with evil and wrong motives. And we're not to live a life and just trying to hide and cover up the evil that we've done. No, if you want to experience true freedom, you confess your sins, right? You confess your sins and bring them out into the light. And then you can experience that freedom. Now, I'm not saying stand up here in front of the church and confess your sins. I'm not saying go to a priest and confess your sins. Number one, you confess your sins to your Father in heaven. And then from there, sometimes you do need to go to someone and confess your wrong to them. Sometimes you need to go to a close friend or a pastor or somebody and confess your sins to them, because there's just something that's bringing it out into the light. Some of the hardest sins that I've ever had to confess is to my wife. But I've gone to her and told her. No one else knows, but I've gone to her and told her. Why? Because there's something with bringing it out into the light, and there's a freedom that can be had there. There's a freedom when it's no longer in the dark. But we shouldn't live our lives trying to cover up sin, trying to cover up evil. Romans 6:15 says, we're going to read 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as a slave, you are a slave to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. What are you a slave to this morning? I mean, really think about it. What drives you? What's the driving force inside of you? Is it to please your Father in heaven, or is it to please the people around you? Is it to please your husband? Is it to please your wife? Is it to please your children? Is it to please your boss at work? Is it to please your church family? Is it to get praise from your friends? What's really the driving force in your life? Or is it to please your Father in heaven, and really that is all that matters to you? Y'all, don't misunderstand me. Part of pleasing the Father is, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, spirit. And what's number two? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So part of, I'm not saying don't love the people around you. Don't worry about what they think or whatever. But what's motivating that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Is it you're trying to please your Father in heaven, and in turn His love flows through you and reaches those around you? What really motivates your life? Verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teachings to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." You know, we can shoot off our fireworks, we can celebrate, we can have all kinds of fun. But deep down inside, we're really a slave to sin. We're a slave to the fleshly pleasures. I put this in human terms. Because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When I think about that, Y'all, this is really personal for me because I've really been, since I've been reading this and examining myself, what do I really offer my body to? What do I really offer my thoughts to, my mind, my desires? Am I a slave to righteousness, which is leading to holiness? Verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. You think that you're getting away with it, but you're not. It's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to destruction. I've told y'all before, when you see these people on these crime shows and things, and they've committed some horrible crime, and you look at them when they catch them 10, 15, 20 years later, and they look like they're 100 years old, and they might just be in their 40s or even 50s, and they look so haggard and wasted away. Why? Because that sin leads to death. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, this morning Jesus is offering each and every one of us a gift. He's offering us a gift of salvation, a gift of freedom. Are we willing to follow Him? Are we willing to lay down the old man? Are we willing to die to self and give our lives wholeheartedly to Jesus? Are we so in love with praises from men and people being impressed with us? Travis was talking the other night about, because we went and looked at Chris's house, and we was talking about building new houses and everything, and how much it costs now. And how much the price of everything's gone up. And Travis, my brother-in-law, most of y'all know him. If you don't know him, he's the preacher at Huntington Assembly of God, but he has laid tile for a living for years. But he was talking about these homes, and he said some of them, the wow factor, he said that, you know, they've done some just beautiful stuff in some homes. And he said it's cost these people thousands and thousands of dollars. And he said, you know, when you really think about it, why? He said, so somebody can walk in and go, wow. And then that's it, you know. So what? So someone can walk in and go, wow, this is really nice. And then you're making a mortgage for 30 years saying, wow, this is really nice. And then in 4 or 5 years, your wow was really nice is old and outdated, and you got to update it, right? Y'all, what is motivating you? What motivates me? I'm not pointing fingers. This is for me too. Is a lot of the decisions that I've made throughout my life has really been based on trying to get the approval of others or to impress other people instead of really just seeking my Father's approval in heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to really stop this morning and really ask yourself, what's controlling me and why? What is really in control of me? Is it sin? Is it righteousness? What's really motivating my life? Why do I do what I do? Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, what happens oftentimes is, as we as Christians, we'll hear a good sermon, we'll pray, we'll be reading the Bible ourselves, and God will give us a revelation, and we'll feel so strong, and yes, I feel free, I feel victory. You feel it for a week. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then what happens? The enemy is all the time looking for cracks, looking for ways to get back in your life. Someone at work will say something, someone in your family will say something, something will happen, and all at once, if we're not careful, we're right back under that bondage of slavery, of caring what others think, of being our lives being determined by approval from men instead of approval from God. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's a struggle for me, y'all. It's a struggle for me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." If you are a child of God this morning, you were bought with a price. So then our lives no longer belong to ourselves, but our lives belong to our Father in heaven. So we should be honoring God with this body. That's really all we have. Everything else we have, the Father's given to us, but this body is all that we have. And what are you doing with it? Are you using it for corruption, for evil, to satisfy the sinful nature? Or do you want freedom this morning? Freedom from who cares what anybody thinks but my Father. Freedom this morning from that addiction, from that drug, from whatever it is that has hold of you, that Jesus Christ can set you free this morning. Let's stand. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray for forgiveness this morning for me and for anyone else in this congregation, Lord, that we're so worried about the approval of those around us, of our peers, of our co-workers, of our family, Lord, that has become more important than pleasing you. Father, forgive us of that, and may you set each and every one of us free this morning. Lord, may there be true freedom this morning for each and every one of us from what others think of us to, Lord, if there's an addiction, a drug, a something that has us bound up this morning. I pray that this morning that we would ask for forgiveness. And just as a woman was caught in adultery, you said, then you don't condemn. But go and leave your life of sin. And this morning, Father, that there would be no condemnation, but we would understand that we would ask for forgiveness and that we would leave our lives of sin behind. That each and every one of us would experience true freedom this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. As they play and sing, the altars are open. If you need prayer for anything this morning, please come. You just need to spend some time alone with the Lord, but I challenge you to really reflect upon yourself this morning and what has had control of you.